Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, it'll be the Annex who get us underway here at in Lancashire. Waiting for the referee to do so, and we are underway. And it's cleared away by John. Upfield, Fanwell will have to deal with this. It's bounced over his head, and he's mistimed the header back towards McGillivray. And in on goal of Bolton, and it should be a comfortable finish. Well, it wasn't comfortable, but it is a finish, and Bolton have the lead.
Yeah. It's just the centre-half mistake. We've seen it, you know, it happens from time to time. You don't deal with the through ball technically. You know, he's read it, he's got there first, and technically he's not got the right part of the body or enough of the right part of the body on the ball to send it back towards his goalkeeper. Do you know what? I'm actually pleased that Deion Charles didn't go to ground. So if he goes to ground, that's a sending off. And the last thing you need up here tonight is your centre-half sent off.
Still have it back with Matthews. He can find Morgan. Fraser back across the box. Too high with Nico! No, it isn't! He gets his head there, and that's the equaliser. Just for a moment, I thought the cross ball was too high for Nico, but he launched himself at it. Got his head there, and it's beyond Trafford, and it's one all here.
Yeah, credit that to the change, Terry. They haven't been able to get hold of our system since it's been changed, and we've been on the front foot and attacking. Suddenly players have come to life. Jaya Simeu has been a spectator by and large on that left-hand side, has come to life. Dobson is breaking from deep areas, come to life. Fraser there whipping in a super ball for Anike to get on the end of. Powered it down into the ground, 1-1, game on.
Morley with the free kick, it's in towards, it's flicked on, and it's a goal. Morley with the free kick towards the edge of the six-yard box. And it was a white shirt that got there first. I didn't quite see who got the touch. It comes inside. It's Ameson, is it, who got the touch? And it's 2-1 to the home side.
Yeah. Used to pin up on the wall, actually, in the dressing room. No unnecessary free kicks in the defensive third. And I would count that as an unnecessary free kick. There's no need to make that contact. The player's not in possession with the ball at his feet. He's not going to cause you any trouble. He's receiving wide. You can allow him to take that first touch before you attack. You can slow yourself down. 9 times out of 10, that doesn't lead to a goal, but when it does, you analyse it in that manner.
In it comes, but there is the final whistle.
So, good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you guys are well. On this week's show, of course, we'll be looking back at the 2-1 defeat against Bolton in midweek and looking ahead to the trip up to the DW Stadium to take on Wigan Athletic this weekend. Joining me to do that, first up, Mr. Tom Wallen, who's been walking his new bike home. He hasn't learned how to ride it yet.
Not yet, no, but got it home safely and now just enjoying a couple of cheese puffs.
Oh, what an evening he's had. New bike and some cheese puffs on the go. Well, can you top that, Mark Newbury? You've had steak, so probably yes.
I've had steak, but I've been hitting the plums by one of my children. So, you know, it balances out in life.
Swings and roundabouts. That's
that was earlier, nice. But yeah.
Well, hopefully your plums don't look anything like Tom's cheese puffs after that vicious assault, but we'll move on swiftly past that and get on to the football. So as I said, we've got to look back at that defeat against Bolton. We just heard the goals there. We're going to hear from Johnny Jackson, of course, later on, his views on that game. Little bit of a chat about the fact he changed formation as well, something we can sort of have some discussion about. We've got tweets and emails, of course, from you guys, who some of you went there, some of you watched the game against Bolton Wanderers. We're going to hear from Hamza Sarar, the gaffer of the under-18s after their FA Youth Cup defeat to Brighton last night. And as I said, we will look ahead to the trip up to the DW Stadium to take on Wigan Athletic as our quest for mid-table continues. Can't wait for that one as well. So, Tom, 2-1 loss. We heard the goals there. So frustrating. Weird game. Don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, dull game, I thought. I put it on Twitter after the game. I don't know if it's just because we lost and I was bitter or whether it just really was dull. And obviously you were there, so you might have a different perspective on it than I did watching on telly. But it just seemed a bit of a... We're two sides. I think we were level on points where we going into the game. It just had that feel of a game between two mid-table sides, neither really with any ambition or quality that was going to get them any higher up the league. And disappointing, obviously, on the back of three wins, and in those we maybe have... I thought we played quite well against Portsmouth, but certainly at the weekend I didn't think we were anything special, but got the 3 points. And I think really it just kind of summed up the mood around this season, really, which is just a bit meh. It was just a frustrating game, sloppy goals to concede. I've never seen Jacko look as just dejected as he did in that post-match, and it was just one of those horrible Tuesday evening games, really. But as I say, a bit of a metaphor for the season as a whole. And I think for anybody still thinking after those three wins, maybe we could sneak to the playoffs. That was very much a bringing people back down to earth sort of performance from Charlton.
Yeah, it was funny, actually. When I was doing my preview before the game, I was thinking, how can I sort of crowbar any interest into this one? So I sort of said, well, you know, the two teams stuck on the same amount of points, but in a little bit of form that suggests if there were to be a winner, maybe they might back themselves as outside playoff hopefuls. And obviously, it hasn't ended up being us, Mark. And I mean, purely, I'd say, because of defensive errors. Now, over the course of the game, you know, I think we were on a bit of a downer because we had fallen behind early on and we were frustrated with the way the game was going. But there was nothing in it, really. They weren't much better than us. You know, we weren't really making a dent in it. So really, it did, for the majority, came down to the fact that we conceded two really poor goals. And obviously the first one, a long ball over the top that Akinfenwa was just completely misjudged. I mean, it all started off when we had that drop ball in the Bolton half, and we managed to make a bit of a mess of that, and Matthews chipped forward, go straight to them. But it was just a hopeful punt up top, and you could see almost immediately Akin completely misjudging it. And you thought, oh dear, he's in a bit of trouble here.
It was the perfect example of how to go from hero to zero in one easy moment. Saturday, he's up there, boom, you know, scores the winner, gets his first league goal. Tuesday night, he drops an absolute ricket like that, which exposed how, you know, the lack of speed we really have across the back as well. Because it wasn't, you know, when it happened, I thought to myself, well, the guy's still got something to do, but he seemed... No one was getting back and getting close to him. I know he had the run, but Akin's not slow, but it was just one of those ones where you're screaming at the TV, you know, stop it. And it's, I don't know whether it was just he was feeling awkward playing alongside Piercy, where he's been next to Innes for a bit, or he just misjudges circumstances. I don't know, want to put too much, you know, pressure on him because, you know, yes, he's played lots of games for us, but, you know, he's not the eldest player out there. You know, he's going to make a mistake. We got punished for it. You know, right, and you're right, like Tom said, you know, seeing Jacko so despondent after it, he's just thinking, because he's not hiding, he's coming out saying, you know, we weren't good. We, you know, when we got back to 1-1, you're thinking, well, you know, we got something out of it, and then we just make silly mistakes. And he must be so frustrated. I mean, I thought it's just... it's just a perfect example of how inconsistent our season's been. We've just thought we were going to go on a really good run. We got those three wins. Like Tom said, they weren't the greatest wins, but they were wins. And, you know, we were brought back to earth with a bump on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I mean, even with that good run of form that we've been on over the last three or four games, Tom, you know, clean sheets have been very difficult to come by. I think we got six in Jacko's first nine games, and then in the last eight since then, we've only had, I think, one or two, is it? You know, we've sort of lost our way very much in terms of defensively, where we had seemed so strong at times under Jackson. Obviously, this season as a whole, we've struggled because, you know, under Nigel, we were, again, still shipping goals for fun. But, yeah, it's just concerning that, yeah, and I don't know what it is. Is it the fact that we can't, you know, we have Innes coming in and then going out, and then Pierce is in and out? There's a lack of naming a consistent lineup at the back at the moment. I don't know how you put your finger on it.
Yeah, I don't have a specific answer either, but I wonder whether it's just a lack of concentration, because the two goals on Tuesday night certainly look like that. And I think there's a lot of the defence that we're actually quite like impressed with. You take Corey against Portsmouth in that wing-back role, thought he was solid. Innes, since coming in, has got himself a couple of goals and, you know, a couple of challenges that have made it onto kind of highlight reels, if you like. Famwo, obviously, we know how good he is on the ball. And obviously got his goal, as Mark just said, then at the weekend. So I feel like we're almost praising quite a lot of the defence quite often. And then we're still conceding goals, which, as I say, leads me to think it must be just those little limps, lacks of concentration or drops of concentration, which, as I say, would kind of make sense given the types of goals we're conceding, because a lot of set pieces, that obviously the Famwo mistake on Tuesday, I would say they're good players. You know, there's talk of Innes, will he get a new contract? I think he deserves one. Famwo, obviously, we've got that option to buy. I personally would like to see that seen through. Lavelle, obviously, has been out, obviously came back very briefly on Tuesday, but he's a good player. Piercy, every year, you know, he'll have an odd game where we'll then say his legs have gone, but then he'll go and put in three or four very good performances. So it's really difficult, because I think the players have got good quality. Macca behind them, is he doing enough communicating? I don't know. I saw him come in for quite a lot of criticism on Tuesday. Personally, I'm not sure I agree quite with it as much as some people were making out, but it is a really difficult one. It's obviously something we need to sort out, and particularly I think since Stockley's been injured and we maybe haven't been scoring two or three goals a game, it's obviously shown up even more, because you can see one, you're going to have to score two to win the game. And when your top striker's out, that's obviously a little bit harder to do. So, yeah, difficult one, but I can't quite put my finger on it. I just wonder if concentration might be the reason.
Yeah, I mean, certainly was, concentration, or certainly a poor decision for the second goal, Mark, where, yeah, Sean Clare had the chance to, you know, out on the wing, he had the chance to just allow, I can't remember which Bolton player it was, just to try and bring the ball down on his chest. It was in the air, but instead he tried to jump into a challenge, gave away a really silly free kick, which you don't need to do in the first place. And then as it's whipped in, Will Ameson's just got the little flick on it past the goalkeeper. So it's little things like that. You can see Jackson, you know, afterwards really disappointed that we've given away a soft free kick in a position where it's a really good chance for a tall Bolton side to whip a free kick into our area.
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, Clare wants to, he's made a decision. Now, when many things happen, you think to yourself, right, I'd rather you made a decision than no decision and dilly-dally over it. He's made a decision, it's the wrong one. But as soon as you make that decision and you're facing a free kick, you've got to deal with it better. You can't, you know, be as good as the delivery was and the guy putting it away, you've got to be able to defend. You've got to pack, you've got to hurry, you've got to harass, and we just didn't, and it was one of those ones you just sort of self, you know, we go behind and then they carried on, we got the goal, and it's just like, regardless of what we're trying, it's not coming off, and we looked better in that last 15 minutes than we had all the game anyway. I think we'd just be papering over cracks if we thought we deserved. You know, personally, do I think we deserved anything out of the game? I don't think we did. I don't think the levels, as we keep saying, which they're fluctuating up and down so fast. So it's hard, because you don't want to start saying, oh, Clare, because we've been extolling the man's virtues for the last month or so, saying, you know, between him and Dobson, it would become, you know, a bit of a two-horse race for man of the match. So, you know, if he's not been at it, he's not been at it. It's we have suffered. I forget who was on the show had said, you know, we do suffer midweek games. You know, we're okay at the weekends, but midweek we've not really done much anyway. I mean, we've not been great on our travels, but for some reason we don't perform midweek. And I just don't know how we can turn that around.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Mark makes the point there. We certainly struggled in the first hour, I'd say, to make a real dent in that Bolton side. It wasn't until Fraser and Aniki came on that we started to play our way back into it. But I think, you know, we know the situation with Chucks. You know, I just clarified with Jacko after the game that it was still, you know, there's nothing fresh to come up. He's still just having minutes managed, the same with Ryan. But it was literally like watching a man against a boy, watching Mason Burstow up against Ricardo Santos, who Santos was real classy defender. Like, I was really impressed with what I saw from him, but I felt so sorry for Mason trying to go up against that brutal Bolton backline. And it does show, you know, he's still a boy. That's where he is at this moment in time. And I was saying during the game, the second we can get Anike onto this pitch, the better, because we are losing that physical battle. And when it's like that, you know, Collins has got nothing, no one to run off either as well. So it was a real tough sort of first hour, Tom.
Yeah, and there were people calling it as soon as the lineup came up, you know, putting him up against somebody like Santos, who, as you say, I was very impressed with as well. And pretty sure we tried to get, didn't we, at one point? And I think I don't know if I've been on a show since Burstow went, but I think what Chelsea have done there is obviously by potential, because there's no question that ability is in there. But as you say, he is still so young and so slight as a player, and almost everybody, you know, at that stage, at some point, you know, through their late teens, early 20s. Those footballers will bulk up and suddenly become a man. You know, we saw the likes of Carlin do it. Obviously, Joe Gomez did it at about 12, I think. Cons has gone on and done it. You know, they find that extra strength, that conditioning that they go through. And that will come for him as well. But when you're up against a pro like Santos, and, you know, you are still that youngster, you are still quite slight. Like you say, it was... I can't remember what you said on the night, whether it looked like a matchstick or something, and it came across that way on the telly as well. It just looked like, literally, like men against boys.
Yeah, so he looked like a sticking stick up against Santos.
And he did. And then, as you say, Aniki comes on, and also we changed our shape. And I know Jacko had to do it. Jacko was obviously chasing the game, but I'm pleased that he gave another shape a go and obviously got some success from that as well, because we don't want to just fall into one thing. And I know he said, look, we're not going to chop and change just when we go on a bad run, but I think switching it around is important, and to see his subs make a difference, I think one of few positives we could take from Tuesday night.
Yeah, we've got a clip from Jacko from press day today where he talks about the fact he changed his formation, and that, and we can get into that really, because I do find it interesting when he says that stuff. I asked him similar after the Cheltenham game a few weeks ago about formations, and it is, you know, it does give some insight as to why he doesn't tend to do it too often. And so, yeah, we will have a conversation about that. I mean, we have to say Scott Fraser looked really good when he came on. You had some moments, could have had that equaliser right at the end, Mark, where the long ball fell to him and he fired straight at the goalkeeper. But his assist for the cross was very impressive. It doesn't feel like there's too many of our midfielders this season would actually have the composure to take the touch, get beyond the man, and then put the cross in like he did. I feel like, you know, some of our midfielders may have felt rushed in that stage of the game where we were chasing. It was 15 minutes from time, but he took it past his man, and that it was a peach of a left-footed cross for Chucks and Ekam. I mean, you can hear it on Tell's commentary that he thought it was too high, but to be fair to Chucks, and I put the photo out that Kyle took in the evening after the game, Chucks was about 8 foot off the floor. It's an incredible leap for him. But, I mean, it was a really impressive goal. And, you know, first we've seen from Fraser where we're like, right, this is the sort of player we want to be signing. And, you know, really looking forward to see what he could do next season in particular.
Yeah, we know he had, he's got assists in his locker. And it was a great ball. It reminded me pretty much of some of Cullen's movement when he was here. And you're right, it was a great leap and great finish from Chucks. I think we're so used to him, you know, almost sort of like coming in as a powerhouse onto the end of a cross. We're not used to him seeing him just do a vertical jump and use those enormous neck muscles he's got and plant it in, you know, the back of a net. And he didn't look out of place, and he looked a bit of class. And you think to yourself, right, now it's going to be a quandary for Jacko, because he showed what he can do in 15 minutes. Do you start him? You know, who do you drop? Looking forward to Wigan, as we'll talk about later, you're thinking, well, you know, if he's going to come in and do that, have the assist and almost get a goal on his debut, it's not luck. He's an experienced, good player. And I think I haven't seen much derision from any sort of like fans online of picking him up. They've all gone, wow, we've picked up a good one here. I think I know the Ipswich fans were a bit gutted because they just say he wasn't used in the right place. So if it works for us and it works, you know, purposefully, because we've got people up front who can put chances away, we know that, it's a good thing to see. So I was glad we picked him up. So we'll see where it goes on Saturday.
I mean, one big controversial moment in the first half, the non-red card for Geoffin Jones, high challenge on Dobbo. At the time, it looked like quite a strong challenge, and it was right in front of the fourth official. The Charlton players were asking perhaps if there should have been more. Nothing doing. I mean, you saw it back a few times on a coverage, Tom. Do you think that could have been a red?
By the end of seeing it those times, I think yes. When I saw it in real time, I thought, well, that's quite a strong challenge, as you just said, but I thought no more than a booking. But then slowed down, watched back, discussed with Scott and George and Alan in the studio. By the end of that, they'd convinced me. And obviously the referee, particularly at our level, doesn't have the opportunity to do that. So I don't think it's cut and dry. I don't think it's blatant. I don't think necessarily it's the fault of the referee there. I think Jacko's point after the game was right. The fourth official standing right in front of it, and he has a good view of it. So again, if he's just seen it, obviously that once at full speed, maybe he thought the same as me. So yeah, I think it could easily have been. I think if it had been given as a red card, they couldn't have had any complaints. But at the same time, I see why he gave a yellow. So it's a little bit of a difficult one somewhere in the middle. But it would have changed the game. That's the only thing, you know, they're against 10 men for that amount of time. Maybe we would have got a point. But obviously, that's all he said, she said, really.
Yeah, I mean, especially because it could have gone the other way in the second half as well when Piercy did what Piercy does twice, you know, for all these attributes that we've said, and I think he's had a decent enough season. He does every now and then get involved in a little bit of grappling, and he did it twice in the space of 5 minutes, and very lucky not to get sent off after the second one, and that's when Jacko whipped him off almost immediately. I mean, great to see Lavelle back on the pitch. It'd be great to see how he sort of comes back into the side, if he's ready to start Wigan, maybe we'll discuss later, but yeah, Piercy perhaps lucky, but it was nice to hear Ian Evatt actually come out and admit that both players should have been sent off, including his own. Probably easy to do that when he knows he's had a yellow card and therefore there'll be no retrospective action. But it was nice to hear a manager actually admit that.
Yeah, I think with that, he's come out and said about Piercy because he knows that his guy should have got a red. I thought it was. With Piercy, the only thing, you know, he's the old experienced player on that pitch. He hasn't got someone next to him saying, you know, don't lose your head. Don't make silly tackles like that. So Jacko's done the right thing. He's just right, you know, he's the next thing. He's only got a sniff at one of our players and referee. He was a bit card happy. You know, we got picked up a couple of bookings and you're thinking, really? Were they bookings on their goalkeeper? It's not like anyone's gone in throat high. And you do wonder why, you know, the referees sort of like booked some of those and let some of those go. So it's a bit of a strange one. No, it was great to see Lavelle back, and I think him and Innes would be a good partnership at the back. And he's a threat up front. I mean, he's already scored this season for us. So it's good to see him back. Whether, again, because we've got centre-halves coming back from injuries, they're saying, right, you know, he can get 15 minutes, 20 minutes here, half, how long before they go, right, he can start and do 90. I mean, you laughed when I said last week about if you're fit enough to be on the bench, you're fit enough to play at least 89 minutes. But that would have been the thing. If, say, in the first minute, you know, throwing a what-if out there, Pierce or Fainwo goes down, pulls a hamstring because they've not warmed up properly, blah, blah, blah. You're looking at your bench and you're going, ah, right, we've got centre-half. Can we put him on for 90 minutes? Or if we go, right, now we've got a plan for 60 and then change it again? Or do you put Purrington on and play centre-half? So you're thinking, you know, it's all what the medical team can do. You know, obviously he's seen doctors and specialists and they tell him what we can do and get back and start doing. So, and he would know, should know his own body. I mean, Jacko was talking this week about Stockley and saying about you've got to be honest as a pro and say, I can do this or I'm struggling. So you hope that Lavelle's honest with him and going, you know, I'm getting there, but I might not be perfect. So, hard.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's hear what the Addicts boss, Johnny Jackson, made of the defeat up at Bolton. And he came to speak to me after the game, and this is what he had to say.
Tight game, decided by, from our point of view, two really poor goals conceded that ultimately they've cost us. So, really disappointed with that nature of the goals we've given away. You know, the first one, obviously, an individual mistake. Gives them a lead, and then you're sort of chasing a little bit and then you get yourself back in the game and then concede from a set play is, again, obviously really disappointing. So,
yes, something that's happened a couple of times recently now, the set pieces of that must be really frustrating for you.
Very, yeah, and you don't need to... We didn't need to commit a foul in that position. You know, that's obviously going to allow the delivery to come into your box, but then once you do, you have to defend it. And we haven't in that moment. I haven't seen it back, but obviously a lack of concentration or what, and not enough desire to keep it out your net, and that's what you need in those situations. So to concede another one on the back of Saturday is obviously disappointing.
It was off to the worst possible start as well, and what had been like a cagey opening, I guess, one long ball over the top, and Akin seems to have lost his concentration there as well.
Oh yeah, I didn't think it was the worst possible start. I thought for 10 minutes we had a good shape about us, and we managed to sort of quieten the crowd down and didn't allow them to have a fast start. So, you know, there was nothing in the game. It was a stalemate, and then up until that point, and then obviously that, you know, it's an individual mistake, and now they've got a goal lead from nothing that you know, when there's been nothing in the game. So that changes the complexion of the game then. But again, just in the first half, it was a bit, you know, it was a bit of a stalemate. It wasn't too much action. But you know, sometimes away from home, you're happy with that. You wanna, you know, you wanna keep it tight. And we've done that for 10 minutes, and then you give them a goal, and you know, sort of all your plans go out the window, really. So that's disappointing.
Managed to find a way back into the game when Scott Fraser and Chuck Sonique came and they linked up wonderfully for the goal. And I think there's a slight switch in formation as well. Do you think that sort of helped Charlton play their way back into it?
Yeah, it definitely helped. Allowed us to get DJ higher up the pitch. Get Scott on the ball higher up in dangerous areas. And obviously he produced a little bit of quality there for Chuck. So, you know, it's good that the two subs have combined and the change that I made worked, and I thought in that period we might go on and win it. I thought we really had our tails up, and you know, we might go and make some of it, and then you give away another poor goal. So, you know, if you're going to give away two goals like that, it's really difficult to win a match.
It puts an end to that undefeated run of four games. How important now is it they can try and bounce back with something at Wigan?
Every game's important. If we'd have won this game tonight, Wigan would have been an important game. So nothing changes that we've lost. It's another game that we'll prepare for going there trying to win.
There's a strong challenge on George Dobson in the first half. I wonder if you would have had a very good view of it. Are you surprised it was only a yellow card?
I was, yeah. I thought it was a red card. I think it's a bad tackle from the lad. He's caught George late and high up. No, it's not on his foot, it's above his ankle and his shin, so it's not a good tackle, it should be a red card.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
there, heads it away. Can Lee pick it up? Yes, he can. Ahead of Kamara, now sends Washington on that right-hand side. He's in space, Washington. Into the area he goes. Can he drill it home? Yes, he can! Oh, Connor Washington! Put Charlton 2-0 up. And could that be the game? A lovely ball out. Connor Washington on the run. Burstow is in the middle. But Connor Washington drills it home.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We are getting ready to gear up for Saturday's trip up Bell back to the Northwest, really, because we're only just there a few days ago, taking on Wigan Athletic at the DW Stadium. Not quite as in form as you think, Wigan. I think they've gone four without a win now, which surprised me. But I think they've got a number of games in hand. So they're sitting second in League One, and they're 9 points behind Rotherham. But they do have three games in hand. So if they were to win all three of those, they'd be level at the top. But they haven't been winning games recently, so it'll be a very intriguing contest when we head up to the Northwest. And we shall talk about that more in detail later on. But one of those questions that Addicts fans will be what formation will we be lining up with at the DW Stadium? Now, of course, our preferred tactical formation under Jackson has been the 3-5-2, and it's not really been one that we've deviated from at all until, I think, I'm fairly confident that the game up at Bolton was the first time we've seen that. We switched to the diamond for the last quarter or so of the game, and it did help. You know, Jacko was speaking about how it got the likes of DJ further up the pitch, allowed Fraser to go and do his thing, which we saw. But, you know, I have asked him this before, and Terry asked him in again today as to whether a switch in formation is something he thinks he'll be sort of utilising a bit more going forward. This is what Jacko had to say.
Yeah, I mean, we look at the opposition and in every game that we play, but I think it's important, that really important, that you have an identity and you have a way of playing. And it's very easy to be reactionary when it doesn't go well in one game, to rip it up and start again. But, you know, when you've had the luxury of a pre-season and time and stuff like that to work on a load of different systems and things, then you're a little bit better equipped, shall we say. So, you know, we found a way of playing, and in the main, it's been really successful. We have to remember that. So, I saw fit in the game to change the formation for the way that the game was going. I think it worked, definitely worked for that period. And, you know, had we not come unstuck on that set play, probably would have earned us a point. And, you know, it's certainly something that we'll look at, whether that's from start of games or picking sort of teams so that you can make adjustments in game, you know, without necessarily having to make substitutions and things like that. That's something that we'll look at. So options are always open. I like to think you're not just sort of stuck in one mindset, but also I think it's important that you do have a style of play, of a philosophy, if you like, which, you know, if you look at all the top teams, really, they all have their own way of playing and very rarely deviate from that. So that's something that I'm quite big on as well.
There we go. So I find that absolutely fascinating, Tom, because he speaks towards, you know, not again, similar to what he said when I asked him a few weeks ago, not wanting to sort of tear up your plans and just start again just because, you know, things have not even gone off the rail. That was our first defeat in five, but if things had gone slightly awry, and he wants to talk about working towards, you know, this formation and this style of play. He wants to have that identity, which is something, to be fair, we complained about under Nigel Atkins. We didn't have a playing identity. So, I mean, you can see it's something he's working on, something he has in mind that he wants to utilise at the club.
Yeah, and I admire that for a young manager to have a very clear idea about what he wants and how he's going to do it. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think there's a difference between that and sort of stubbornness or a defiance not to change, like we saw under Carl Robinson, where that 4-2-3-1, you know, he never, that I can recall, deviated or budged from that. And again, that's why I go back to my earlier point that I was pleased to see Jacko change it yesterday, because he could see it wasn't working and he thought he'd give something else a go. that's the sign of a manager who goes, right, I've got a preferred style, but if it's not working, I'm going to try something else. Not somebody who's going, well, I don't really know what I'm doing, so I'm just going to try something new, like I think we saw under Adkins. Or, as I say, the Robbo example, where you never change. So I like that. I think, obviously, he's going to have to think about who stays and who goes over the summer for that. But I think if he's going into next season thinking, this is how I want to play, then, you know, him and Steve Gallen can be identifying players now and saying, right, well, this is the style of play we want and this is what we're going to do. And then you don't have things like the Kirk signing and players that just don't really fit into the type of system we're playing. So, yeah, it's encouraging, I think. I take it as a positive. I know some people may not, but I think there's a man there who has a very clear plan about what he wants to do. And hopefully, it feels like we've said this for a few transfer windows now, but this summer can be the last one where we're having to chop and change and we can get a little bit of stability, really. And if he can get that and his formation works, then we could be in a good place. So, yeah, interesting to hear. And as you say, backing up kind of what he said to you just a few weeks ago.
I mean, he spoke about how he feels like a lot of the big major clubs, you know, are similar. They play to a certain style. And I guess if he can stamp that on us, Mark, and as Tom says, if we can have a transfer window of bringing in players. I mean, he has spoken, he did mention there about having the pre-season where you can work with a few different things just to see what works. But if he can stamp an identity on us that works and other teams struggle to deal with, and at the same time have a little bit of flexibility in case he needs to mix it up. I mean, it's all part of a learning curve for him and what he hopes are like sort of the buds of a new team that will start to drive us up the table next season.
Well, I'd be very surprised if we went into pre-season without at least three or four new signings. I think Thomas has learnt that you can't let it go as long as he did before you bring in some new faces, because you need time to gel. You need time for the players to work together, to understand each other, new players coming in. I mean, it's going to sound funny. Football's a simple game, but it's when it becomes sort of like overcomplicated tactically, and you do think to yourself sometimes, you know, what are they trying to prove? Because if you try and change it all the time, the players are going to be confused. If you keep it to one system, like you said, Robinson did, then you become found out. Other teams can negate you quite quickly. You need to be able to have, I always think, you know, one or two players in your team who have that X factor, who will do something slightly different. They're going to do their jobs, but if they got the ball, they could pick a pass out. I mean, like Klaus Jensen used to do for us. You know, he wasn't the greatest tackler. He'd put in a tackle, but, you know, you didn't have him there for that. You had him for him to give a ball, and he'd score a fantastic goal, or he could stroke a pass. And we're missing that kind of player. You know, we've got Albie coming through, but he's a young one. I know he's played quite a few games for us, but that's the story of League One. So, seeing who Jacko picks up, and obviously they'll be looking at it now, they'll be looking at other teams and saying, right, who's out of contract, who's likely to be offered, who can we get, who will fit into the style we want to play, and have a degree of flexibility, and that you have a team who are building into it. Because at the moment, it's working sometimes, and sometimes if it's looking like it's first day of pre-season, and they're just going, well, I couldn't, you know, I didn't know what I was doing there. I was, you know, marking, I mean, look at the marking on Saturday. You know, if you'd seen that in a pre-season game, you'd be going, it's all right, it's pre-season, you know, they'll iron these kind of things out by the time we come to the league. When you're sort of like over halfway, you know, three quarters way through a league, and that mistakes are happening, then you go, something's not right with the players somewhere. And, you know, they all made such vociferous things about Jacko getting the manager's job, and whether they just thought, oh no, once Jacko's in charge, it will be, you know, it will be gravy. And, you know, and he's actually trying to get him to work. And I don't know, I think there's one or two there who, you know, when the contracts are handed out, when they get an envelope and just told, right, clear your locker out, I just won't be too sad to see go.
Yeah, that's a shame. There probably is a... Well, we probably say that every season for a number of years now. Right, let's have a look at some of the messages that have come in to the studio. Charlton Exile tweets, positive from Tuesday was that we were able to change our shape. It worked going forward. This ability to adapt our formation to suit the circumstances is a big tick, in my humble opinion. Hopefully this will give JJ confidence to do it more often. Ben says, I don't really want to talk about that too much, but I will point out there's been one of Fainwell's biggest weaknesses regarding the long ball, and that is a great example of it. Would love to hear your thoughts on whether we should keep him in the summer. I mean, you said earlier, Tom, that you think we should keep Akinfenwa. We got a good message as well that I'll find that comes in from Phil. But have you seen enough? I think I'd keep him. I think that, you know, there's errors here and there, but I certainly think I'd keep him, Tom.
Yeah, I would. I don't think he's the best defender we've ever had by any stretch. But I think given where we are, you know, we are a League One team now and a mid-table League One team at the moment. I think he's probably at the better end of what we're able to get at that level. I think him, Lavelle and Innes and Clare, if he continues to play there, I think they're all pretty good and solid. I know Innes's injury record is questionable, and obviously Lavelle's had a long spell out this season as well. But yeah, I think Fanwo's still young as well. He is still learning. And I don't know, I just think there's enough there that given another couple of seasons with us, I think we could mould him into a really good player. So it's very easy, particularly off the back of what he did on Tuesday night, to come out and be critical of him. And as I say, I'm not suggesting he's Nesta or somebody like that, but I think he's a decent player, and I think it would keep that consistency going into next year rather than going out and finding somebody else. And as I say, I'm not sure you'd get, particularly at where we, given where we are, I don't know how much better you would get.
Right, Alan says the midfield three looked tired playing on Saturday as well as Tuesday. I would have given Fraser a run out for Morgan to freshen it up, but the subs gave us hope. We couldn't handle Charles though from the first minute. Didn't have anything to change him after we scored for me, which was odd. Akers says get rid of Jason Pearce, Chris Gunter, Ben Purrington, Ben Watson, Josh Davison, Matthews, Washington, Gilby and Stockley, along with Jake Forster-Caskey. We need a complete rebuild in the summer as the squad goes missing after an impressive home win. We need players who care. This lot simply don't. Cheers for that, Akers. Right, a couple of emails as well. Michael said there were three positives from the Bolton game. When Jacko changed the formation, we dominated and scored and only dropped off after conceding a soft goal against a run of play. This means we do have a plan B that we can use. Fraser and Anike combining for our goal is a great sign for next year and onwards. So it does look like we can make a good permanent signing in January. The $1.6 million for Burstow, in the context of covering the cost of transfers in this season, is feeling a much better deal than it did last week. Mason obviously has massive potential, and I'm sure most, including me, would love to see him succeed in the future. However, the Bolton game did highlight that he does have a way to go on that journey. I think the key objective being to escape League One next year, bringing in Anike and Fraser at a fraction of the fee we got for Mason. Does make sense. Yeah, that's a good point. Mike Jack says, hi, chaps. The game at Bolton was the complete opposite of Portsmouth last week, where we played well and even did our attack play against Wimbledon was better than what we showed last night in some respects. Not sure if the last two games have just taken it out of the lads after a good little run we went on. I felt we just tried forcing a lot of the passes last night, ended up hoofing it forwards. We were pressed really well by Bolton as well, but obviously we needed to find a way around that. Jacko's changes in formations and subs did make a difference, and we got back into it once again. Lazy half-hearted challenges, give away silly free kicks, and we paid for it. Hopefully this is just a blip and we get a result against Wigan. It was also great to see Lavelle back out of a back three of him, Innes and Fainwell. Sounds frightening for attackers, as long as it wasn't the Fainwell of last night. Anyway, that's from Jack. Cheers, Jack. Right, Phil said, hi guys, tonight I thought we were poor on Tuesday night, as were Bolton, to be fair. I sent you a post on Sunday saying how I thought we've got a decent spine for next season. Maybe I've just caught the Division 3 mediocrity bug, like that spine, because I can't recognise good players anymore. This group of players' consistency is a problem going forward. Alex Gilby and Fainwell are the two main culprits. Excellent for a couple of games, followed by poor performances the next. Unfortunately, we have been that way for a club for far too long. Yeah, and that was what I was going to say, because I did read Phil's message again from after the Wimbledon or the Portsmouth game, Mark, and he was obviously singing the praises of Fainwell. So it does show. I mean, I'm not saying Phil's wrong there, because he had a good game then, he had a poor game on Tuesday. It just shows that we are too inconsistent, but we are a League One side. Like, if our players were consistent, they'd be playing for better teams, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a funny one, because we know they go from heroes to zeros quite quickly. it's a hard one. I mean, Famo's 23, so he's only really got experience at this level. Are we the right club who can improve him? I think we are. I think he would, you know, and like some, we've had a lot worse a centre back. I mean, I don't want to mention any names, Roger Johnson at all, but it's, you know, would he be a good one to sign on? It depends how much Norwich want for him, because obviously if Norwich do come down, some of them, their players will probably, you know, exercise things of their contracts and go. And so Norwich might be saying, you know what, we've got this player, we can use him in the Championship and we can get back out of it and yo-yo back up again. So it depends what they want to do. I think if they stay up, they won't want him. It's, again, what's out there. Okay, we've got kids coming through, because are you going to throw Deji in there? And where he's a good couple of years younger already and hasn't got the experience, and make that kind of mistake. Charlie Barker's been, you know, a couple, he's had a few league appearances. It's strange. I know it's a tough one, because do you want to put a guy who's been at the club, he knows us now, you know, and you're thinking, if we sign him, will he become mediocre? Can we get rid of him, kind of thing? It depends what they'd offer him, maybe 2 years, not much longer than that, and say, right, can we improve you as a centre-half? I think we can. I would be in the keep group for him. So, but I wouldn't be in the get rid of Washington or Stockley group.
No. I certainly wouldn't be getting rid of those two personally. Right, we've got one more message as well. Comes in from Reg. He's given us three takeaways from Bolton, and they're all about throw-ins. He says, the long throw-ins, too many are inverted curves that loop up into the air, giving the opposition time to compete and head and cover our receiving players. He said, the shorter throw-ins, there's a lack of movement from our players looking to receive the ball. And also, how often a short throw-in do we see one of our players receiving the ball at the apex of the bounce, i.e. having to control the ball and then bring it down from knee height rather than receiving the ball to feet, and therefore that fraction of a second to bring it more under control? Apologies in advance, but with our season where it is a mid-table beckoning, one of the remaining pleasures, it will be even more esoteric observation. So, I mean, that's some real deep studies into throw-ins there, Reg. But, you know, our throw-ins clearly haven't hit the heights this year. As far as Reg is concerned. Right, something that has hit the heights this year is the youth team, the under-18s. They got all the way to the fifth round of the FA Youth Cup against Brighton, played there at the Valley last night against the Seagulls. Beaten 2-0, but absolutely no disgrace. And the under-18s manager, Hamza Sarar, whatever will be, came to speak to Tom Rubishaugh after the game to let us know what he made of the FA Cup, the FA Youth Cup loss against Brighton.
I thought it was a very open game. Well, they had an early goal earlier on, and we responded, but unfortunately we didn't hit the target. But it created loads of chances. We had good territory. So did they, to be fair. So first half could have been 4-4 for both teams. A really open end-to-end stuff. Some good football being played by both teams, really expansive, but unfortunately we couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. He wouldn't have go in for us. That's how I view it. Second half, obviously silly mistake from us led to them scoring the second goal. Then we was flat for about 10-15 minutes, and then we finished strong again with Duncan hitting the woodwork again. But it wasn't meant to be tonight.
And it was twice off the woodwork. How frustrating is that in a game like this?
It's very frustrating. You know, it's a cup game. You just want to take your chances. You want things to fall for you. The ball wouldn't fall for us. Even the rebounds, when the ball comes back, it's not in our path. It's always there's a defender there. To be fair to them, they had two good central defenders. But we could have been more clinical. I thought the boys handled the occasion well. At the Valley, there's over 1,000 here today, and I want to thank them for giving us the support as well. But it's frustrating because they were beatable, Brighton. I thought we was just we're in it. They didn't dominate the game, but yet again, cup games is about who scored the goals, who takes the chances. They did, and we didn't.
And they're obviously a side with real pedigree. They knocked Manchester City out in the previous round. I mean, you have to be impressed with the display your boys put on.
I am. I've just said them. I said to them at the end there, I'm very, very proud of you. And I'm very proud of their performance today, and they weren't fazed by anything, the occasion, the crowd, or even we're playing against a Cat 1 academy, a Premier League club, far more resources than what we've got. But we're Charlton, so we always punch above our weight. This is the Charlton way. The boys buy into it and they live and breathe it. And I'm so proud of them tonight. If you look at the game, anything could have happened in terms of us scoring. I wish we'd scored a goal just to see how the dynamics of the game would have changed. But it wasn't meant to be, but very proud of the boys today.
Yeah, so I mean, we always know, Tom, that we have a good academy, and Hamza sounds really proud of his side's performance last night. By all accounts, you hit the woodwork a couple of times. By all accounts, you know, we gave a good go of it.
Yeah, and I think we've got every right to be at Kanu. Didn't score, did he? And when that happens, well, it doesn't.
I'm wondering if he's a bit past it now. That
well, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Might even be two games in a row that he's gone now. So. Dream's over, unfortunately. But look, we're always doing well, and I would say punching above our weight in the youth setup, and that just goes to show. You know, we've said this hundreds of times. Goes to show because of people that then make it through to the first team as well. Kanu being an example with that contract he's just signed. Barker, as Mark just mentioned, you know, we've seen it plenty of times already this season. So. Yeah, again, I talked a little bit earlier about the stability we might get under that first team. It feels like that whole youth structure just has that stability with the names and the faces there. You know, there's just a real good kind of pathway. Adkins talked about it a lot, didn't he, in the short time he was here, that pathway through. And
that visionary Nigel Adkins.
Exactly. Yeah, knew what he was doing, didn't he? But I think, yeah, look, obviously disappointed that they've lost that, but they can hold their heads up high, as you say. They weren't sort of run all over, and I'm sure there'll be other opportunities for that crop, and I'm pretty sure we'll see a fair few of them playing in the first team over the next few years as well, because as I say, that's just what we do at Charlton. So yeah, obviously disappointing on the night, but overall I think they can be proud of themselves.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a look ahead to the game up at Wigan then. First of all, let's hear from Johnny Jackson, who tells us what we can expect from the Latics this weekend.
Tough game, obviously. They're at the top side, one of the best in the division. Fully expect them to be right in the shake-up come the end of it. So, yeah, it's, you know, on paper, it's one of the more difficult fixtures you're going to face. So, but we normally do all right in those ones. You know, we went to Sunderland and won, went to Portsmouth and won. Went to, like you said, the form team in the division on Tuesday, and for me, have only been undone by our own poor defending in those situations. Certainly didn't get opened up really at any stage. So, yeah, we'll go there, prepare right, make ourselves difficult to beat, and know that in any game that we'll always get opportunities because of the quality that we have on the pitch.
Yeah, just on from that, Johnny. I mean, I know concentration for the 90 minutes is something you obviously discuss anyway, but we can score two late goals here at the Valley in the first encounter of the season. So something that's doubly important, especially against a side as good as we.
Yeah, it's a 90-minute game, 90 or 90-plus at times, and got to concentrate for the whole of it. That was disappointing on Tuesday that we let it slip that late and got ourselves back in. And we know that if we're as complacent up at Wigan, then chances are you'll come undone again because they're a good side, and they'll you know, they'll keep you honest right until the very death. So yeah, hopefully lessons learnt. Certainly stuff that we've addressed today with the players that they're fully aware of. So. Got to try and put it into practice.
We've seen how hard two games in a week can be to the squad. How's the fitness after Tuesday night? It was good to see Jaden back on the grass today, but how's the squad shaping up?
Yeah, everyone's okay from Tuesday. Obviously, tired bodies because a lot of travelling involved. Got back really late, sort of early hours Wednesday morning. So it's going to be a quick turnaround again, back on the road tomorrow. So, a lot of it will be about recovery, getting ready to be fresh again on Saturday, and sort of trying to tap into the players' minds as much as their legs to get the work in that we need. You know, there'll be obviously training on the grass, but a lot of it will be done, you know, in the tactics room, on video meetings, things like that as well. So just try and get the final few points and prepare as best we can. To be ready,
certainly. A funny run of form, I'd say, Mark. Having won was it one like about 7 or 8 games in a row. All of a sudden they've drawn two and then lost a league game, and obviously they lost at Stoke in the FA Cup as well, which you don't really count in that run, but just threatening to tail off. So, you know, I mean, they'll be quaking in their boots with us coming to town.
Yeah, it's funny because you looked at it 6 weeks ago and you thought, oh, we're going to cruise into the top where they're just going to be, you know, up there straight up. And then they have one or two wobbles. It's how they deal with it. I think they will look at us coming to them and go, right, this is where we turn it back round, because we don't have... We're not carrying a threat of invincibility. We can battle and we can score. We know we've got goals in the team, but we've got so many vulnerabilities sometimes. And travelling up, Wigan's just one of those big, big pitches. And you can be pulled from side to side, and it's going to be an effort up there. I'm not saying that we can't get something. I'm just hoping. Would I take a point up there? I would, because I think you have to turn your own form around. If by getting a point, as we found out, and then going on getting 3 wins, we can do that. You know, if they've been spying on us recently, they were going to go, well, what Charlton are going to turn up here? So it's a crazy one. Again, you know, I expect Innes to be back. I expect possibly Chucks to start, Fraser to start. I wouldn't be surprised to see Gilby being the man who goes onto the bench, because I think you need Morgan. You need, because of his passing. I mean, his deliveries weren't good last week from set pieces, but you don't know how much of that was down to wind. And obviously you need Dobson, and you just hope that the injury he picked up from that tackle hasn't manifested its way. Obviously, when they do their warm downs and how he's been in training, you know, could be feeling it. So if we go with that, and Washington, you know, it was fine, I would probably be tempted to swap DJ onto the right and put Purrington in, because I know we talked about having a steady fullback and an eccentric fullback, as it were, in the back five, and do it that way, and maybe drop Matthews out. Not that he's done anything terrible, because his form has been pretty good recently, but just swaps DJ round and gives him a chance, because they may be saying, right, DJ's going to be playing on the left, we pop him up on the right. You know, that could be something they've gone, all right, we're not going to deal with that. So it's a fingers crossed one, because again, Wigan, pretty much like Bolton, it's not something I really remember us getting too many wins there. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, I've seen us win there at least once. So I remember that 3-0 game that was on a Friday night. It must have been under Guy Luzon. I think Chris Eagle scored for us, if I remember rightly. I mean, one thing we haven't spoken about actually yet, Tom, is obviously we won't be with Jaden Stockley, but we've had an update of sorts, because he was on a podcast with the comedian Joe Wilkinson recently. I actually listened to it on the way back from Bolton when I was coming back on the train yesterday. It's a very good podcast, actually, worth a listen. But he revealed a little bit more about his injury problems and how it was sort of a slip disc in his back, and he's had an epidural and how that's affected him. And he's spoken about being back within a few weeks. But I mean, Johnny didn't give away too much details, because it's quite a complicated one to deal with. But Jaden has come out and spoken about it, and frustrating, really, that we're still going to be without him for a couple of weeks, but at least we have a little bit more clarity now.
Yeah, it sounds like a nasty one, doesn't it? And I think the longer it went on without us really knowing, I wouldn't say we understand now, but at least we know, it became more and more concerning, I think, because you start to wonder why that news isn't coming out. But it all makes total sense now. I think, was it today, the club put photos out of him back on the grass, and Jacko's talking about him, you know, hopefully reintegrating in the next couple of weeks. So I've written this season off for a few weeks now, so I'm not too concerned about him not being here. But I think it's all about making sure that this isn't something that's going to come back and haunt him again and again. It's something that hopefully this whatever he's had done will fix, because if we do have him starting next season and hopefully relatively injury free, then again, that's just another huge thing, not only for the stability and consistency that I spoke about earlier, but also brings those goals. So, yeah, it's obviously his health first and foremost, and pleased that he's on the road to recovery. And I hope he gets some minutes towards the back end of the season. I hope we ease him in gently, as I say, particularly if we've got, you know, if we're not going up, we're not going down. You know, no point rushing him back. But yeah, it'll be good to have him back, and good to have him back up and running for sure.
Lovely stuff. Right, we've come to the end of this week's Big Match Preview. Thanks to all of you who got involved by sending in your messages. I'll see those of you who are going up there at Wigan. And I'd love for you guys after the game, if you see me knocking about on a train and that, just to come and speak to me and do a fans bar reaction. Because I always like to get your views on the pod. So make sure you can do that if you can. Thank you to Mark and Tom for joining me on this week's show.
Cheers, mate.
You're welcome, sir.
An absolute pleasure to speak to you guys. Also, make sure you get your emails in nice and early on Sunday. I might have to record the show about lunchtime because I've got stuff on Sunday. So get your views in to email, to studio@charltonlive.co.uk or tweet us at @charltonlive early on Sunday so I can have your views read out on Sunday's show. Right, I'm Louis Medes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.